I'm going to just read them to you quickly. Okay. I'm going to give first the word for South Africa. The Lord gave these impressions on the 2nd of November 2016. 2nd November 2016. The Lord says, I'm not yet done dealing with the political leaders of this nation. As arrogance persists, so will I expose more of what is laying beyond what is apparent. See, I'm stirring up the pot of filth that has been laying dormant for so long, covered under the guise of political expedience. I'm digging deep into the muck and the filth of decades. What you see and survey as apparent is the movement of my hand of indignation against years of brutalizing the system of so-called democracy. See, I'm giving political leadership one last opportunity to choose that which is just and right. Let my true church begin to decree that the time of my glory is now. See, I've assigned to South Africa a host of powerful angels, watching, waiting to work with my church. The battle that is raging in the political democratic arena has a deep spiritual root. It cannot be won by political persuasion alone. What you witness is the stirring of my spirit upon your land. I'm getting ready to activate my true church into action. It will be a holy revolt against the true enemy of this land, Satan, the accuser, the prosecutor, the ancient fallen prince, who now is discerning that his time of blinding the minds of unbelievers has come to an end in our nation. Now I stir a spiritual revolt in the realms of the spirit. See, I've sent you emissaries, yet you have relied upon outdated modes of detecting the enemy. Now I intensify my attack upon the onslaught from the demonic realm against this land. Like in the days of Job, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, and he has strategized against my true church rising within this nation. The battle has always been a spiritual one, while the land of RSA has become the battlefield and captured compromised men, his means to reach his ends. There will be many more casualties in both political and economic financial spheres. See, I have stirred the pot of filth lying dormant into open manifestation, and so to surface long hidden secrets of the heart of those set in agreement with the adversary. The battle is spiritual. We fight in the unseen realm. Now I have my emissaries ready with battle strategies. I've given you this land. Now contend for it. Fight the good fight of faith for it. Greater clouds of opposition is forming on the horizon of time and space. Yet so many who call me Lord cannot see, cannot discern the time of my visitation. It is a time to look beyond the occurrence of natural reality. Lift up your eyes and survey the finish. I have set my throne in agreement with my true church, my discerning church. This is the time of your visitation. Mount up on wings of eagles and begin to soar on the wind of my spirit. Connect and join. Come together, cluster together, form alliances, and begin to shout on your walls, for the cities of this nation is under the watchful eyes of the Lord. One runner should run to another, declaring to the king of Babylon that the cities of this nation is now under the control of the Spirit of the Lord. This is a day of rejoicing. I am the law enforcer, says the Lord, and my throne is reverberating with divine activity in preparation of moving in favor of my remnant. Just like Elisha prayed that the eyes of his servant might be open to see that those who are for us are more than those against us. So also now I am with you, says the Lord, ancient forces have been stirred in revolt against you, but this is my unseen architecture at work. So look not for answers in the seen, visible, natural realm. Look beyond physical occurrence. Look to me. Look to my emissaries, my authentic sent ones amongst you. Keep their words, and you shall live in a day of crisis. See, I bear my arm on your behalf, says the Lord. I will work mightily and a mighty deliverance in the midst of the crisis for you. Just do not fret. Look to me. Connect with true, authentic, apostolic, prophetic leaders whom I have prepared for a time such as this. See, I establish a different relational order across your land. I have breathed over your spiritual formations and found some wanting. Weighed within my balances, says the Lord, it is time for my people to recognize the true, authentic voices I have raised up for a time such as this in this nation. The turmoil is nearly over. The shaking nearly concluded. I seek justice, the function of my integrity. I seek for righteousness, the principle of my integrity. I seek to be held in high esteem amongst you. I seek my honor in you, my true church. Time has come for me to unveil my armory. You are my war club. My arm will work mightily for you. It is time to rise into my purpose for your nation. Time to arise out of slumber into actualizing my prophetic purposes for South Africa. Time to arise in splendor and let my voice sound as a trumpet within your nation. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Begin to build, restore, and reform. Rebuild the ancient ruins within the context of this nation. The Lord says, gather, O my troops, and thresh. See, I give you the former dominion, the dominion of your father David. Get ready to enter the battle. It's an ancient battle, a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual revolt from the forces of Jezebel that has been triggered against my Holy One. Begin to ask, why do the forces of darkness conspire against our land? And why do they plot against the Lord and His anointed? Surely they plot in vain, for I have set my King on my holy hill. So arise, my church within South Africa, arise. Arise from fear, indifference, and nonchalance. I will restore the lost fortunes of your nation. I will remove the current political leadership, says the Lord. Those that are corrupt, those morally and ethically corrupt. I am getting ready to shift my chosen leaders into place. Decree it, pass a law over the cities of this nation. Declare the arrival of a new day within your land. New leadership is in formation. And declare it, speak it in faith. Rejoice, for I will restore for my name's sake what has been lost in this land. My true church will be consulted by government in the coming months. For first, I will need to show forth the utter incompetence and the spiritual bankruptcy of a fallen religious order within this land that paraded as my divine representative, says the Lord. Now my true church and her true leaders will arise. They will be consulted. New directives are coming from the hand of the Lord for this nation. My purpose for your land will surely stand. Just do not fret. Decree change. Declare it. Speak it. Rejoice, for my arm shall accomplish it. See, my fire is burning on my holy mountain. For surely the mountain of the Lord's house shall be exalted on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it in your land. The fire, this fire is the spirit of burning and the spirit of my holy indignation. The judgment of my spirit will burn with unquenchable fire against the futile attempts of your adversary who sought for your land's demise. Now my hand will move within this nation to restore lost fortunes and lost time. I will surely restore. This I do for my name's sake. That's a word from the Lord for this country. And then lastly, is that okay, Pastor Thamo? Lastly, I've got another word, but this is more global. Most of our problems internationally today stem from a crisis of leadership. This is currently being highlighted by our Lord in many regions of the earth. The nations are suffering under a vacuum of leadership. This is not just in government, but also in virtually every major center of influence, including the church. In Isaiah, the first five chapters, we are told that immature leaders are the beginning of the judgment of God for the nation that turns from God and falls to the ultimate depravity of calling evil good and good evil, and for dishonoring the honorable while honoring the dishonorable. That is an accurate description of South Africa currently. It will take more than just an election to get us out of this mess, says the Lord. We must have revival of ancient principles that were once delivered unto the saints by our forefathers. Subscribe to them, build them, and live them. We must subscribe vigorously to apostolic patterns to survive in a day of global crisis. We must have another great awakening, or we will not survive much longer in this republic. The events of the earth are revealing fractures in the political, economic, and social structures. We have entered into times of great perplexity and distress, which causes inner turmoil. Bewilderment and abortion of purpose is set in place. In the midst of all of this, the true church must embrace apostolic patterns and examples which will ensure a victorious stance as human life buckle under increasing pressure. The apostolic dimension is built on an unshakable characteristics which we must embrace in this time. South Africa and the rest of Western civilization have been led to the edge of a moral precipice. Especially Europe and America could not long survive if they do not forsake the mentality of entitlement, playing the bosses of the world, and their movement to narrow self-determination concepts of government, which excludes the marginalized poor of the so-called third world. The whole world is about to crash on the rocks of financial bankruptcy. But financial problems are just a root of something much more deeper. The West has lost its spiritual and moral foundations, without which they cannot survive as a free people anymore. Leadership requires more than knowledge of what needs to be done. It requires the courage and the resolve and the endurance to take the helm and steer the ship out of danger. America has fallen into virtually every trap that their founding fathers warned them would destroy them as a republic. These warnings were specific and clear. The economies of nation states are just a reflection of the sickness of the heart that world leaders exhibit. In this sense, our problems are not just economic in nature. They are character problems. The Lord showed me that South Africa is fast losing the baton of leading the spiritual mandate to invigorate the nations, especially the Western world, which is dying in its own self-aggrandizement. Unless we see the need for re-evaluation, the need for deep contemplation and introspection and repentance, we will lose the plot, says the Lord. The Lord said of South America, O South America, my womb, ready to birth, to bring forth. I've kept you hidden, but now to release your fragrance through a multitude of sent ones to invigorate the West and the North. We do need to evaluate what is being done in South Africa in the apostolic and what the consequences will be if we do not radically shift our course into practical applicability of the doctrines and living it out in sincerity and truth. But we also need to evaluate why up till now we have only been academically, theoretically, and intellectually engaged the move of God. When God moves a nation and against a nation, We are told how he affects their downfall. In Job 12:23-25, the Bible says, he makes nations great and destroys them. He enlarges nations and disperses them. He deprives the leaders of the earth of their reason. Isn't that what is happening? He makes them wander in trackless wastelands. They grope in darkness with no lights. He makes them stagger like drunkards. And so God is currently taking an inventory of the nations and those in leadership positions within them, both political and spiritual. He is weighing them in his divine balances of righteousness and justice, and he has found them wanting. Earthly political leadership is either corrupt or deplete of moral and ethical fiber to righteously lead the way. We see incompetence and a deterioration of character and values. God does not show favoritism based on political affiliation, political ideology, or political leadership. His standard is set in his eternal word. And all nations, tribes, and tongues must measure up, comply, and subscribe to the eternal standard of his throne, righteousness and justice. And then the last thing. Roughly 20 years ago, since the apostolic invaded the earth afresh again, during these years we saw apostolic men laboring in preparation of God's final field, the church. He uprooted the wrong mindset and threw them down the divine challenge to come out of Babylon, out of denominationalism and sectarianism. This was initiated by what we call a reformation of the church. Many times those entrusted with doing the spade work did not fully understand how their mandate had to be executed. So they inflicted hurt and spiritual bruising unto those intended to be prepared as God's field. So we witness many spiritual apostolic casualties laying indifferent to the movements of the Lord. These were the years of apostolic leaders spying out the land called the mystery of Christ. Many went in and even brought back the produce of this new great prosperous land in terms of apostolic reformational truths that were sown. However, as in the day of Moses, only two came back with a good report, while the other 10 proclaimed that this land of the apostolic is too difficult to access and inherit. So the first casualties were apostolic leaders that turned their back and said, we look as grasshoppers in their sight of the enemy. They began to see and declare the impossibilities of why the land cannot be taken. Those that led the way became some of the toughest opponents to the produce of this newly found apostolic land. I can remember vividly that some fought the first fruit teaching. Almost it suffered shipwreck at the relentless onslaught against it. Then we witnessed apostolic men who began to plant and to sow the seedlings of apostolic doctrine as the Spirit set out corporate course against the winds of error and misinterpretation of biblical truth once delivered unto us through the forefathers. Massive strides were taken as there was a ruthless breakout of from confinement in narrowly defined church life as apostolic doctrine begin to water the lush green plains of our corporate Adama. We began to notice exponential growth in understanding of revelational truth. The new plants began to take deeper root in apostolic truth as apostles began to hammer out on their divine anvils foundational issues such as what are apostles and are they relevant today? We heard about households of faith, father and son dynamics, four pillars of an apostolic household of faith. First fruits redefinition were brought to biblical truths that we all held dear, such as the doctrine of the church, the Holy Spirit, and much more. The teaching on grace propelled the local household of faith, which ascribed to it into greater accomplishments. However, spiritual skirmishes broke out between proponents of the move who still narrowly defined themselves in separately confined departments within the body of Christ. Authentic prophets came to keep us focused on the narrow road of spiritual expediency and turned our minds away from the emphasis on personal prophecy to understanding the speakings of the Lord intended to unearth His divine unseen architecture within the global arena. There was almost a parallel between issues that evidenced themselves in earthly geopolitical life and values we thought have been finally clarified and migrated toward. These include the rearing of the ugly head of racism, extreme nationalistic, ethnic and cultural tendencies which began to yield its fruit in both secular and spiritual realms. Now the Lord says, my doctrine has truly fallen as rain, and my fields are maturing, but an enemy has sown tares amongst the wheat. Tares are among my wheat, says the Lord, for some do not adorn my doctrine by manifesting it in practical lifestyle. And in all spheres of their lives, some only hold to my truths intellectually, academically, and theologically. Adorn my doctrine, live it, manifest it. Now we are on the brink of yet a new phase with our corporate movement within this eternal purpose of Christ Jesus our Lord. I am tending my field, says the Lord, personally, and will uproot the tares sown amongst the wheat. Now in my omnipotence, I will stop the rain that moderately fell so that the green lush plants in the field cannot rot, because they have received the former and the latter rain moderately, says the Lord. I will tend to my field now, says God. It is my field, says God. Some will fail and fall by the wayside, for I will uproot what I did not plant. Yet others will I cause to produce 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold, says the Spirit of the Lord. God bless you.
Just appreciate the man of God. Appreciate him. You know, a lot of things have been said today, and God has chosen this platform to present it. That means that He's created a womb here. But it's a womb that must receive the seed on behalf of the peoples we represent. Really. You know, there's so much said that our minds may not be able to fully apprehend and comprehend what has been said, but it's from the Lord. You may have to go and listen to the teachings, the recordings, over and over again. You know, Sean gave us a word, I think it was last year or the year before, that God was going to expose the corruption in the country. And that's when all hell broke loose in this country, that with the public protectors reports and, you know, the skirmishes and so forth. So we must not treat these words lightly. I know your bodies may be tired, but God was, you know, emphasizing the somberness and the seriousness of the hour that we are living in. And it's a great moment to be alive. You know, I look forward to the conclusion of last year. But as I reached the end of last year, I couldn't wait for 2017. Just simply couldn't. There was a joy that hit my spirit. I became pregnant with expectation, really, like something was about to pop in the spirit. And some of us have been through some extremely torrid times, but it's all preparation for a greater thing. You know, the cauldron of suffering is the furnace God uses to prepare us for greater levels of anointing. You can't carry the greater levels without allowing the dross that is purged in the fire. But this is a great year, great year. And sometimes we get so addicted to popular news channels that we believe and start to be conformed by what they say. But I want to tell you something. God is using madness to confront the wisdom of men. God is using a mad rider on a horse to confront the systems that have been created. You know, sometimes And hear me carefully. Capitalism can produce great successes by, you know, capitalistic and charismatic definitions. But it produces a monster that will eat up the system. And right now, liberal ideology, expressed through liberal democracy, is being judged by a man with a head that doesn't notice criticism. Let me tell you, the systems of the world are falling. Systems. God knows what he's doing. God is an amazing God. Just an amazing God. And I want to say to each one of us here, let's not miss our opportunity. Let's not miss our opportunity. You know, God's been setting us up for the last 20 odd years in this country for a moment such as this. It took Jesus 30 years to be prepared for 42 months of ministry. It took David at least 17 years, I think, to be prepared to sit on a throne. And nothing happens quick with God. There's a process we have to go through, a literal process. And these words are, for me, guiding lights. I don't treat these moments lightly. Guiding lights. I'm, you know, we can't be caught up with our domestic, parochial view of life, our local church, and an individualistic thing. We have to start thinking communally. I was saying to the conference, I was speaking a little bit about Christ because the emphasis was Christ in you. I said, you can't understand Christology without understanding that the language in Christ is the language of community. It's the language of community. And the community is called Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's a communal revelation. So you can't come with a Gnostic view to decode Christ, to think about community. And the big thing about community is we have to start thinking communally. We cannot be thinking dialectically. We can't be thinking rationally. We have to think in terms of the communal picture that God communicates in the Father, the Son, the Spirit. And if we don't see ourselves as a community, as a collection, you know, as the principal mass called Christ, we are going to miss Christ in the season. We're going to miss him. And we can't afford to miss him. When Sean said, some will be taken out, I immediately bowed my head and asked God not to take me. Been around for 20 odd years in the season. I don't want to miss it now. Really don't want to miss it. I just can't afford to miss it. Can't afford to be taken out. And God may sometimes take us out just to save us from embarrassment. Can't afford it. We've come too far to miss God in this hour. So lift your hands to him. There's a lot said here. This is a download, not for your minds. It's to be deposited in your spirits. You don't understand when conception takes place and the baby eventually is born to your family. But don't miss the moment. Don't miss the moment. Come, stretch your hearts to him. This is a divine moment. And this is a second chance for some of us here. Because some of you, I speak prophetically now. You've been asking questions about your covenantal relationships. Some of you have become doubters and you've detracted from it. And you've become isolated and you're living in exile. And you're feeling sorry for yourselves. Stop feeling sorry for yourselves. You are your own devil. The problem is with you, no one else. So start getting back to a place of submission to the eternal purpose. Because this is not the season for diapers. This is a season for adults to come now and encounter the things God is saying. So bring your hearts to him. Because you are seeing the small picture and missing out on the big thing.